The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Everybody, we have done it. We are live here on the MMA Fighting YouTube channel previewing UFC Vegas 63, which goes down tomorrow at the magnificent UFC Apex in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. It is beautiful, AK, isn't it?
I've never been.
You never been?
I've never been. I wouldn't know. I've been to Las Vegas several times, but I've never been to the glamorous UFC Apex. I hope to visit someday, but from what I see on TV, it looks immaculate.
Well, that's what we like to hear. And I am Mike Heck, joined by the great Alexander K. Lee, my best friend, as we preview the post UFC 280 fight night card, which is this one, UFC Vegas 63. Main event is spectacular between Calvin Kattar and Arnold Allen. We will get into that in a moment, but AK, people don't come here for our banter. They come here for the gymnastics score. They want to know what you're rating this card. You're very high on UFC 280 ahead of time. You thought it might, all things considered, maybe reach a 10. You try to play it safe a little bit, 9.6. Something tells me we're not going 9.6 on this bad boy, but there are some things going in its favor. One, it's an early start time. Two, 11 fights, nice and tight. And three, we have a really good main event between Calvin Kattar and Arnold Allen. So where are you at with the gymnastics score right now?
I was actually a 10 out of 10 on UFC 280. And I had just said that, like, I only thought it could hit like a 9.5, 9.6, but I thought we'd still be happy with it. Again, it ended up closer to like an 8, probably maybe below that. So, yeah, this card, gosh, again, if everything goes right, you still have a hot main event. I feel like the main event can save so much if it's a great fight or if it has a memorable result. Like if either guy has like a quick finish, that could be, you know, that's worth getting excited about too. And I don't think the main card is terrible. It's just, and we'll get more, we'll talk about this more later, of course, the prelims and even some of the, you know, a couple of the opening main card fights, not the main card opening ones, but anyway, just the undercard in general. It's not super strong, and worse, like there's just some style matchups that I'm like, these could be some really visually unappealing fights with respect to all the fighters involved. So if I'm being realistic, let's say 7.5, Mike. Let's say everything goes perfect. We get, you know, three or four finishes on the prelims, a couple of finishes on the main card, a couple of great back and forth fights on the main card, some of that on the prelim. If that all happens, we're talking degree of difficulty 7.5. It can land it. And, you know, maybe it doesn't go that far. Maybe it lands at a 7 out of 10. I think we should be happy with that, again, for a card that's following such a stacked lineup in UFC 280. So the final score, if it goes well, could actually end up being really close to where 280 ended up after it happened. So That's I'm damning with faint praise here, but there you go, people.
Yeah, I mean, the hangover from UFC 280 is real, and no matter how you felt about the card upon its conclusion, there's still so much to talk about. And in fact, one of the big talking points coming out of that card sort of goes right into this main event on Saturday, because Calvin Kattar versus Arnold Allen is just a tremendous fight. Five rounds, 25 minutes of these two guys. We have Kattar, who's just a dog. He wins some, he loses some, but he's competitive in pretty much every fight. We exclude the Max Holloway one because Max Holloway was just on a different level in that occasion. He's coming off the split decision loss to Josh Emmett. A lot of people thought he won that fight. And he's taking on Arnold Allen, who has won 11 fights in a row. He's 9-0 in the UFC. Seems like the trajectories are a little different right now, but the betting lines on this one have just been fluctuating nonstop. Kattar was the favorite. Allen was a, like, the lines completely swung to Allen's favor. He was like a minus 140 yesterday, and now they're back to close to a pick 'em. Allen's a minus 115. Kattar's a minus 105. It's a 50-50 fight. Just your thoughts on the matchup. We'll get into what it all means and picks and all that stuff, but just your thoughts on this matchup, because the rest of the card, you could find some unicorns in there, but I mean, this is carrying most of the weight of this entire event.
Yeah, my best friend, I know you've been big on, like, this, you know, this belongs on a pay-per-view. This is a pay-per-view quality fight. It's potentially a number one contenders fight, depending if the UFC is all in on, you know, Alexander Volkanovski and Islam Makhachev, which, again, not official yet, even though the fighters involved have done everything, did everything in their power that they could on fight night after UFC 280 to kind of tell the UFC, like, hey, this is happening. But, you know, obviously nothing's been signed. The UFC, I'm sure, is weighing their options for Volkanovski's big homecoming. But yeah, this could be a number one contender's bout. I actually love it as a fight night main event. If it was on a pay-per-view, great, that's fantastic too. But this is the kind of fight, like I was just kind of saying before when giving the gymnastics score, this is the kind of fight that carries a card, can carry a lackluster card. You know, when the UFC is trotting out 48, however many events a year, you need to have strong main events. Let's be honest, some of the main events that have come up recently have not had that quality to it. Even next week, I think Marina Rodriguez and Amanda Lemos is a great fight. Were people clamoring to see it as a five round main event? No, it wasn't originally. It wasn't supposed to be originally anyway. This fight, to me, I like that it's five rounds. I like that it's a main event. If it was on a pay per view, would not have gotten the five round treatment. So, in that sense, I think we won out here. As far as the matchup, I mean, man, I want to lead into a question here, Mike. We actually got a question. I know we usually save that for the end, but someone messaged me and I kind of spoke on your behalf, but I think I should get your answer. But Calvin is, it feels like we've got the best version of him right now. Even in the Josh Emmett fight, which was a splitty, a lot of people thought he won it. He's coming off three Fight of the Night awards. I mean, even the Max Holloway one, he kind of got a bonus just because he's so damn tough. We know how tough and how good Calvin Kattar is. It's so strange to say for Arnold Allen, 10 fights into his career. Like, I feel like we still need to see that next level. The Dan Hooker finish was so important. He's getting a reputation sort of as like a decisionator. Not that there's anything wrong with that. He was winning these decisions pretty comfortably, but he needed that signature moment. He got that moment, but you felt like, you know, he beat a guy in Dan Hooker who is maybe not at the peak of his contendership right now. He's kind of in between weight classes. He's lost quite a few fights recently. Calvin Kattar, I mean, there is no question. If he beats Calvin Kattar, this version of Calvin Kattar, that Arnold Allen is more than worthy of a title shot. So I'm very excited to see. I hope it goes the full five rounds. If either guy can finish the other guy quickly, more power to them. But I think five rounds will tell us a lot about both guys. We've seen Calvin Kattar, you know, in some high profile five rounders. I want to see Arnold Allen in a five rounder at the UFC level and see how he looks. Because if he doesn't finish, if he wins a very convincing decision against Kattar, has a good call out, you know, maybe that's our next contender. But Mike, I wanted to ask, you got a comment from our pal John Ray. You're familiar with John Ray, regular On to the Next One contributor and show question asker. So I think he was just a little confused. You have said multiple times on these shows on Heck of a Morning that, like, you agree with Volkanovski that no one at featherweight, they just haven't broken apart from the pack. You know, they didn't get past Max or Yair, like, inactive, and then has that weird win over Ortega. And these are all guys who, like, if the cards had fallen right, we'd all be like, we'd be, you know, stamping our feet saying, give them the title shot. And it just didn't happen. And I fully agree with you. So John Reyes was asking specifically about this fight and was saying, like, are you also saying that, like, the winner of this fight won't break out? And I speak on your behalf. I assumed you were saying up until this fight, and this is the chance for one of these guys to break through. I don't know. I don't know if you also feel that, like, no matter what, Volkanovski and Makhachev is the way to go.
Yeah, I think we're on that trajectory at this point. Like, I have pretty much treated my brain to the fact that we're going to get that fight. It's basically, when you have a face-off in the octagon, it's happening. Like, I feel very strongly it's going to happen regardless of what happens in this fight. So the big thing about this fight is, and I talked about this on Heck of Morning this morning, I love everything about Volkanovski Makhachev. Like, I was teetering for a little bit, but after seeing what happened in the post-fight, seeing the call-outs, seeing them go face-to-face, they sold me on it. I'm in, and I've accepted that this is the fight we're going to get, and I'm happy with that. Like, I'm intrigued by the matchup because Volkanovski is a handful. He's the best fighter in the world. I still think Makhachev will win. The one downside is this exact question, because what are these guys fighting for, AK? Like, what are they fighting for? I like stakes. I like them. I like when these main events have stakes. And the matchup itself is tremendous. This is a 10 out of 10 stylistic fight, and it should be a main event on a fight night card. But what are these guys actually fighting for right now? Because that's been the big problem with 145. We haven't had anybody emerge from this division in a long time. And when Volkanovski gets the whole thing, you're holding up the division, his response is, I'm not holding up the division. The division's holding up the division. I'm waiting for someone to emerge. And maybe it happens here. It's just tough, man, because when you have a fight like this, you're fighting for a top five spot. Like, that's it. That you're basically fighting to, Allen's fighting for Cater's spot, and Cater's fighting to stay in the title discussion somehow. But no one's getting a title fight after this win, unless maybe they do an interim title fight. If Yair continues on the stance that he's on, that I'm not fighting anybody unless it's Volkanovski, I'll wait till I'm 111 years old to do that. Then maybe they go Emmett versus the winner of this. But we just saw Emmett and Cater fight. There's run a story there. Yeah, you can run it back. Or if Arnold Allen gets the big win, do we go that route? Like, so I guess to answer your question with the question, what are these guys fighting for now? Like, what are the actual stakes for the winner of this fight outside of just getting the second half of your paycheck and maybe getting a higher ranking than you had before?
Yeah, Allen would kind of give us the cleanest, like, path here. I think he wins. That's 10-0 in the UFC, all at 145. 12 straight wins going back to his two fights he had before the UFC, coming off a loss. So it'd be 12 consecutive victories and 10-0. The comparison, to bring up our friend John Ray again, the comparison he brought up was like, well, look what Islam just did. Islam kind of won, you know, 10 straight, not beating anyone that was like in the top seven, top eight, top nine, and got a title shot. Why can't the same thing happen for Arnold Allen? And I think there is a good logic there. And so Cater would be, I'm not sure, I'm trying to think of the equivalent on Islam's resume. Cater would be a much higher ranking opponent than Islam, you know, managed to beat relative to the lightweight division. So for Arnold not to get a title shot off this would seem absurd. So for me, like, I, as much as I love the Makhachev Volkanovski fight and I really want to see it, I've said this on to the next one too, I would rather they do Volkanovski defend the featherweight title in Australia against an Arnold Allen or Calvin Cater or Josh Emmett or Yair, one of these guys, all guys who I think he would be favored against and has a good chance to beat, and put on a nice show, crowd pleasing performance, and a great way to, you know, end a show in Australia. Because we like moments like that. That's how you build stars. Volkanovski is already a star, but that's kind of how you keep taking him to the next level. You give him this hometown show. He 50-44 is a guy in the main event, or knocks them out. And that just takes him to another level of stardom. I think you can do that. I don't think that happens. If he beats Islam, obviously that's a bigger win than any of these guys. I just think there's so much risk there. I think these other guys have a much lower level of risk and still a lot of reward for him. So I would do that. I would have Islam fight Beneil Dariush. I've said that. And I would build up to like a big summer clash between Makhachev and Volkanovski, assuming that they both win. But I understand there's no guarantees in MMA. There's no guarantees Volkanovski beats all those guys I mentioned. There's no guarantee that Islam Makhachev beats Beneil Dariush. We've talked about it. It's a great style matchup. So you've got to strike while the iron is hot. I know that's next. But I do think there is a realistic chance that the winner of this fight gets that Perth spot instead of Islam Makhachev. I really, really do, despite the wonderful machinations of the fighters involved at 280.
I just don't know if I agree with that. Like, I would love to see Benny Dariush get a title shot. Like, I would love to see it. I feel like this guy's never going to get one. Like, no matter what he does, he's never going to get one. He's not doing himself any favors, if we're being honest, by saying, I'll fight 10 more dudes. Like, that's just not good. What I will say, I think the timing's perfect. And I know Joseph Bosa just is like, well, you got this guy on this winning streak and this guy on this winning streak. Josh Emmett's won 5 in a row and 7 out of 8. Yeah, but not a lot of people thought he beat Calvin Kattar in that fight. Like, it's very controversial. Calvin's still being asked about it because most people thought Calvin won that fight. Yair, not fluky, but a weird finish, doesn't really separate him from the pack. And when they're the promoter, Dana White, the face of the company, is saying, yeah, we could do an interim title fight. And the champion is like, yeah, do an interim title fight, please. Like, I want you. I'm giving you my blessing to do an interim title fight. And then you have Yair. He's like, nah, I don't want to do an interim title fight. I'm waiting for Volkanovski. Like, what's Volk supposed to do with that? He's like, I'm giving you a chance to be the guy. Like, it's an interim title fight, but in essence, you're fighting for a number one, like a legit number one contender fight. You have the interim belt. You're the dude. Now, why I think Volkanovski going up now is a great idea, and then we'll get back to Kattar Allen because that's what the show is all about. The names he mentioned, the Bryce Mitchells, the Ilya Topuria's, the Mavzarov Loyev's, even the Sadiq Youssef's, those guys right now are on their way up. They're on their way up, but they're not there yet. And in like a year, Volk's going to have plenty of featherweights to contend with. And I also believe that if Volkanovski somehow beats Islam Makhachev and becomes a lightweight champion, he's already said, don't worry, Benny Dariush, we'll turn right around and we'll fight. I think he's done a featherweight if he wins the belt. Like, I really do. Like, he's going to have his hands full up there. He's going to have plenty of big fights, way bigger fights than he has at 145. I think he's done. But just the fact that Yair is like, nah, I don't need the interim title fight. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're crushing yourself. I just don't understand his thought process. But we're at a weird time. I feel like we're going to get this Makhachev fight. I feel like now's the best time to do it. Because one, if Volk loses, he comes back and he fights these killers that are on the way up. And if he wins, we can open this division back up and just do an undisputed title fight. Volk vacates. Here we go. He got his two belts. Now he can vacate one. Massive fights for him at 155 with some of the dudes that are up there. But in terms of this fight, AK, we got Arnold Allen the upside of Arnold Allen is higher than Calvin Kattar's. It just is. Dude is 9-0 in the UFC. Could be 10-0. Getting his first main event shot. Big opportunity here. And Kattar is a dog, man. He's a dog. There's one factor in this fight that stands out to me. What is yours? Like, when you break this down stylistically, what's the thing? Like, what's the one thing that stands out?
It's not so much stylistic, but it's just quality competition and sort of the wars you've been in matter so much to me. Some people look at that as a detriment, of course. You know, they might say Calvin Kattar is diminished by the run of 5-round fights he's had. And it certainly in the long run will be, you know, we'll look back on these wars he's had and be like, well, you know, one day when he's, I don't know, getting knocked out in his, like, you know, late 30s, we'll be like, oh, well, this is why. Look at all these wars he went through. I don't think he's there yet, like, as far as how degraded his chin is. We know this man can take a shot. We know he can take a beating. And more importantly, we know he can give it back, man. I mean, that Giga Chikadze fight was just outstanding. Again, the Josh Emmett fight, a lot of people thought he won. You know, that's a splitty. You can look at that as a loss, but he was essentially, you know, one judge away from being 4 wins in his past 5 fights and all against just like the most elite competition you can fight. Now, Arnold Allen, you know, again, he's just had problems staying active. And it's not his fault, but whenever he comes back, he's just got to take the opponents that are there. He's never had the kind of momentum where, like, the UFC can go like, well, now we're giving you, you know, the number 7 guy. Now we're giving you the number 5 guy. Now we're giving you the number 2 guy. He just hasn't been around to do that. And that's not his fault. He has excelled against the competition that he has faced. And like we said, after Saturday, it could be 10 straight wins and there's no arguing against that. But just based on I hate to go to intangibles, but like that grit, just like knowing how deep Calvin Kattar can go into that gas tank, into his reserves, into the championship rounds. I've got to lean Kattar. I don't know if we're getting a finish. If it happens, it would be in the later rounds. I will go Kattar by decision. Could be another close one. It could be Arnold Allen's first time. It could be his turn, I should say, to have some heartbreak on the scorecards. But I think this one's going to go the distance, and we'll get the main event we're looking for. Will we get the contender we're hoping for? I don't know. Like we said, we don't know exactly what is on the line for either man. But I would hope that if Cater or Arnold, in this case, I'm picking Cater, that if he puts on a great performance, they would at least consider him for that Perth main event. But I get it. It doesn't have quite have the cachet of number one pound for pound versus the new lightweight champion. So that's fine. But I'm going Cater by decision.
I am also going Cater by decision.
Okay. And it's, listen, friends it's, forever. Yeah, oh, no, sorry. Yeah. Wrong show.
Because the biggest factor for me is the extra 10 minutes of this fight. Because we've seen, like, Arnold Allen isn't the cut. Like, he's not gassing in fights. Like, when he gets the third round, he's not, like, straight gassing, but he's fading. You saw it in the Sadiq Youssef fight, and Calvin Cater doesn't get tired. Like, he just keeps going. Even when Max Holloway hit him in the face 500 times, he just kept coming and didn't stop. And I don't think Arnold Allen could do that. Now, Arnold could go out there and finish him. And honestly, that would be the most shocking result of this fight, because if Max couldn't finish him with the amount of big shots that hit Calvin Cater that night, I don't know if anybody could finish this guy. And I just don't think he could be finished. So I don't think Allen gets a finish. If you want to bet, if you're going to bet Arnold Allen, you bet Arnold Allen by decision. And if I think if you're going to bet Calvin Cater, you bet Calvin Cater by decision. I don't think this one's getting finished. I think this one's going to the cards. And I just think Cater's he's a five round fighter. Maybe Arnold could prove us wrong, but at this point, I'm going to lean Cater just with those extra 10 minutes. But he cannot fight Arnold Allen the way he fought Josh Emmett, or he's going to lose. So I think I don't know if he's going to do the Giga thing or he's going to do the Emmett thing. I think he's going to find a middle ground where he's not going to get crazy. He's not going to get too wild, but he is going to be more aggressive. I think he learned a lot from the Josh Emmett fight. You know, it's the old cliche, don't leave it in the hands of the judges. But, you know, that was the big knock on Cater, is that he just wasn't aggressive enough. I still think he won, but Emmett landed some bigger shots here and there, and it happens. That's what he lost the decision. He's got no one really to blame but himself, and he'll be the first one to tell you that. So love the fight. We'll see what happens for the winner.
I just hope it's mostly definitive, because I cannot put up with another robbery review controversy. This Jan O'Malley thing drained the life out of me. So I don't want to do, I honestly don't want to do another robbery review for like the rest of the year, but I have a feeling if this is close, because I don't remember why I missed the Cater Emmett one. I don't know if I was on a little vacation or something, or just, I didn't think it was that controversial. I can't remember, but I'll probably do a retro at some point. That'll probably have to be looked at again, but boy, I hope this fight just gives us a clear winner, and we can all as a community just move on from the main event of this show.
Someone posted this earlier, so I'll put this out there.
All right.
If I put the over under on takedowns at one takedown attempts in the whole fight, I'm going to jack it up a little bit. 1.5 over under.
Wait, for both fighters combined?
For the entire fight
combined, over 1.5.
Over under 1.5.
Attempts.
Yep.
I'll go over.
Like legit takedown attempts.
I'll go over. I think Arnold Allen's going to throw a couple in there. He's going to mix the martial arts.
Yeah, I wouldn't shock me if Cater landed one too. I'll go over too. I think in a fight like this, you have to at least put the threat out there that you might actually try it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be a great fight. I can't wait to see it.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The co-main event, people have asked, aka, are we calling this a co-main event between Tim Means and Max Griffin?
It's not a co-main. I love Tim Means. I like Max Griffin too. It's a fun fight, but it really doesn't pass some of the criteria. I mean, neither guy's a former champion. Neither guy's even ranked. They are not ranked in the MMA fighting global rankings. I don't think they're ranked in the UFC rankings either. I can't imagine they are. It does pass the... Obviously, they booked this fight because they think it's going to be two guys just clubbering each other, which is great. I highly approve. But I think I'm going to stop short of calling it. It's a penultimate fight. It's a penultimate fight. It's not really a co-main event. Are both guys coming off losses too? Yeah, Griffin is...
Tim Means got finished by Kevin Holland.
Both guys are coming off losses. It has no implications in the rankings or titles. Not that's everything. Again, I'm just putting all the factors out there. I don't say I can call this a co-main event. Fun fight. Could steal the show. I mean, and Cater Allen's obviously the front runner for fight of the night. But you know, you make fights like Griffin Means because you expect the guys to go there and end bang. So, very cool fight. But the other options was there anything else that could have been the co-main? I think Jacoby Rountree could have been the co-main. I think they wouldn't do it, but I think Arlovski Pezao could have been the co-main.
I'm stunned it's not. I'm stunned it's not. They usually they love to throw heavyweight fights.
They do, and we'll talk about this in a bit. It wasn't even their heavyweight choice. There's actually another heavyweight fight in the card that's not Arlovski Pezao. I think it's because, let's be honest, Arlovski fights can be kind of bad. Is that rude to say to the GOAT, to the heavyweight GOAT?
The man's winning.
He wins. It's great.
But he wins.
Very, very bad fight. Yeah. So in that sense, like, I was outraged at first. I remember, I'm like, why is, you know, if we're just jumping ahead here, Bandera and Cortez Acosta like on the main card? And I'm like, oh, that's they expect that to end in a finish. Arlovski and De Lima could be three very ugly rounds of martial arts.
It's gonna be one insane round, but if this one gets to the second, it's gonna be, we're going to a decision.
Bandera and Acosta?
No, the Arlovski fight.
You think we'll get one good round out of it?
It's like, I mean, De Lima is a monster finisher in the first round. Like, but if it gets extended, it's probably going to the cards because that's Arlovski is, you know, that's just the fighter he is now. He's more defensively sound than ever before, I guess, is the best way to say it.
It's W's.
Means Griffin will be fun. Like, it'll be a fun fight. Will we get walkouts? Probably not. So that takes away from the co-main event status as well.
Yep. Good question.
But it's an interesting fight. Some interesting storylines. Both guys have wins over BKFC star Mike Perry, and both guys have decision losses to Mr. Neil Magny. So we got some MMA math to put into the equation here.
Anytime you're throwing in Mike Perry into MMA math, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that tells us about anything.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, we mentioned the Waldo Cortez Acosta versus Jared Bandera fight. Obviously a massive fight for Bandera. He's fighting for his job. There's no doubt about it. Trayshawn Gore in the fight before that, also fighting for his job more than likely.
What is the obsession with Trayshawn Gore? And I say this as the ultimate fighter guy, as someone who has probably seen more of Trayshawn Gore than your average person potentially tuning into Saturday's card. What is the UFC's obsession with Trayshawn?
The dude is a striking machine. So he's a powerhouse. He's a powerful striker. He's a little raw. He's a little raw.
He has one knockout. He's only has five fights, but
did you see his, knockout. Did you see his media scrum? Very deep cat.
Okay. I'm sure he's a wonderful young man.
Yeah. I don't like this matchup for him though. Josh Fremd is a very well-rounded guy, but Trayshawn can pop, man. So interesting fight. He's fighting for a lot here. Go watch that Media Day scrum. It's unbelievable.
Why is Josh Fremd's nickname not Josh Be My Friend or Josh I'm Not Your Friend?
I don't know.
What's the big yins? What is that? I'm going to topology right now. What is the big yins?
I don't know, but Josh Fremd, another Factory X guy. So we need to sit him and Jonathan Martinez down and discuss nicknames. I think that's what we need to do. We'll take a trip out to Colorado.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on out there. You guys got some missing on some marking off. We'll talk about a nickname later on this card, by the way, that I don't love, Mike.
Dustin Jacoby, Khalil Roundtree. That's a great fight.
An amazing fight. Great choice for, like I say, it could have been the co-main, but it's also an excellent choice for an opener. That is how, if people there's people who just don't watch the prelims and just see the UFC on there, like, oh, I'm going to tune in. If they tune into that, they're going to be real happy and they're probably going to stick around for the rest of the thing.
Dustin Jacoby, 6-0-1 since returning to the UFC. This guy is just aging very well.
He has the second longest undefeated streak in the UFC right now behind only Ankalaev.
That's insane. And he's fighting Khalil Roundtree, who, let's be honest, Khalil Roundtree, great guy, another great scrummer, and it just talks about greats, very unselfish guy.
Mm-hmm.
But fans of Khalil Roundtree, he is a frustrating guy.
Yeah.
He is, because when he's on, he might be the most violent man in the UFC. There are very few fights where you see finishes and you're just like, oh my God, stop, please, stop, please. And it's usually when Khalil Roundtree is delivering the shots. I don't know, man. And then the other half, it's just like, he doesn't do anything. But I don't know, man. How do you break this one down? Because I feel like outside of the main event, this is the most intriguing fight on this card.
I miss this. I see Jay Gabru 001 in the comments saying that Jed Meshew brought up that Roundtree is 2-0 against Glory kickboxers. There you go. It's on screen right now. Obviously, the who was the guy?
It's Carl Roberson.
Yeah, and the big knockout.
And Gokhan Saki.
Gokhan Saki. Okay, that's kind of... Did he bring this up on BTL?
This is a different dude.
Was it BTL thing?
I think he did.
No Bets Barred, maybe?
Both, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I missed No Bets Barred this week, so I didn't see it. That's a cool fact. I don't know if it matters here, but like you said, Mike, the best version of Roundtree is super competitive with the guy like Jacoby. Now, I think Jacoby is just, a better all-around striker. But yeah, maybe I might have said the same about Roberson. Saki, it kind of makes sense how that happened. Like, again, Saki not really in his prime. I think even when they fought, and at some point there's an athleticism gap that just can't be overcome. Could be an issue with Jacoby too, but man, I don't know how to pick that fight. I don't know how to pick that fight. You're right. It really depends. It really depends what version of Roundtree you get. Because he's got so much power. He's so dangerous, but I love the experience, Jacoby. I don't. Do I have to make a pick here? I don't have to make a
pick. You don't have to. By the way, if you want to hear the betting, if you want to hear the betting lines, Dustin Jacoby -175 favorite, Khalil Roundtree the dog at +150.
-175 favorite for Jacoby. That's a lot of respect.
Yeah,
that's a lot of respect. Good for him.
I'm gonna play if someone handed me $20, which you have to bet on this fight, I'm probably betting on Khalil Roundtree just because the value. It's the value. It's a dog or pass kind of a fight.
That is a main card fight. So you guys can check my prediction Saturday morning to see where I land. I do not feel strongly about it yet.
There you go. We'll take questions in a minute. Again, this isn't the most loaded card, but I again love the fact that it's an afternoon card. I love the fact that it's 11 fights and we have a fantastic main event. So we'll get to your questions in a minute. Low key banger, AK, or low key storyline, low key fighter to watch. What are you paying attention to here on these undercard fights?
I'm excited to see as a couple. I'll say very quickly on Dalidze Haas. This could be a really exciting. This is either going to be a really exciting finish for Haas or a very middleweight fight that we're just dreading for the 15 minutes that it's on. It's hard to tell. Dalidze can make things really ugly. He's capable of finishing too, but he can make some fights super ugly. And Haas, the kind of guy who's like, if that happens, like if it becomes a Dalidze fight, he's just good enough to not get finished, but not necessarily good enough to maybe turn things around. So hopefully I'm wrong and it's middleweighty in a good way, but that I have my eye on it just because, again, I'm optimistic, but it could be super ugly. The other one is, and I'm only bringing this up, Mike, so I can talk about this young man's nickname. First of all, credit to Joshua. I don't know how they're going to announce him, but I'll go with Joshua Weems for now for taking this fight on short notice. We were pretty excited, Mike, you and I, to see Garrett Armfield back in his weight class. Unfortunately, apparently he got a staph infection. So now Christian Rodriguez will fight Joshua Weems, another LFA fighter. Can I even say Joshua Weems' nickname? I mean, I don't know. This is my new least favorite nickname.
I mean, go ahead.
He's Joshua Wide Open Weems. Now, this has, again, listen, maybe I just have a dirty mind, Mike. Maybe like when I, you know, my disdain for Brandon Royval's nickname, the Raw Dog, maybe that's my fault. You know, maybe my mind goes somewhere and that I think it's an inappropriate nickname. That's where right where I am with Joshua Williams. I the nickname wide open, it's just bad. It's just bad. What does it even mean? Raw dog, I could see the meaning of, you know, having a more PG meaning. He's a grinder. He's just a raw dog once he gets in the cage. I understand that. What the hell does wide open mean? Mike, what is it? He's wide open when he gets in the cage. His like stance is wide open. He's got a wide open fighting style. What are we doing here?
Maybe he was a wide receiver in football and he always got wide open.
I'm always wide open.
Maybe his path to his goals, wide open.
Yeah, my future is wide open. Jed Meshew also suggested maybe he's like, it goes by like, it's like Josh wide open Weems, like W-O-W, and he's J-Wow. So maybe I missed that. Maybe I should watch some of his previous fights and maybe he's announced as J-Wow. If that's the case, I'm all in. That's right there with like, you know, Joe Lazon, J-Lo. I like that. But just wide open. I don't like to call a man raw dog. I don't like to call a man Juicy J. And I sure as hell don't like to call a man wide open. But you know what? I don't even care about the weight. I don't even care about the weight miss. Like I said, he took this on very short notice. So, I mean, no excuses. Sure, he should have made the weight. But I think on this, we can give Joshua Williams a pass. It's I think it was four or five days notice. So I don't know. Best of luck to him. And then actually, I should say, as I'm making fun of the name, could also just be a super exciting fight because both guys are finishers. And bantamweights, all caps, bantamweights, Mike. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, I'll bring this up because Joseph's been at, I think it's like three or four times he's asked this question, but how crazy is it he was fined 30% of his purse? Missed by 3.5 pounds. But listen, here's the thing. Carlos Mota, who also took this fight on less than a week's notice, he did his job and made weight.
Yeah,
you put pen to paper, man.
Oh, man. But we could, if he'd missed, I would have been like, don't charge him the 20. I don't know. I always wonder how these things go. This happened a few times where I was like, man, this is like this, someone came in and they missed and they get 20, 30% off. And it's true. You sign the contract. We say this all the time, Mike. It's if you don't think you can make it, your manager needs to negotiate a catch weight. And who knows, maybe the other fighter will agree. I just want to know that these things are being proposed, that they're being discussed, and that we're not trying to make guys like Joshua Williams cut. We don't know what weight he was at, but cut an extraordinary amount of weight in like 4 or 5 days. So he's not only getting fined, but even getting close to 135 probably wasn't good for him. So I don't know. Managers out there, please tell me that you're, again, I don't know if you are trying and the UFC just doesn't like them. Well, we know the UFC doesn't like them, but I hope managers are out there trying to negotiate catch weights for their fighters on short notice, because it's a lot to ask.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they might have been, maybe Christian's team was like, no, we're doing it 135, we're not doing it at all, and he wants to get in the UFC, and now he's in. It's unfortunate. I don't think the UFC is going to, like, crush him on this. This is just the fine that was negotiated, and that's it. I don't think the UFC is going to cut him if he loses or anything.
Yeah, he'll get another chance win or lose. He'll get another chance win or lose. David Sandine suggesting it's a Creed reference.
Yes, I love that.
With the arms wide open.
Yeah, and we're
demonetized. I forgot.
I mean, you sing like an angel, but we
dub
are
some
not.
Music over, we'll dub some music over it later. We'll dub some music over
yes.
it later.
I am excited to see Chase Hooper back in there. I thought his last performance was fantastic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were doubting this young man, came through in a big way. I think this is a favorable matchup for him against Steve Garcia, who is dropping back to 145 for the first time in a couple of years. All of his UFC fights have been at 155. Going back to 45, he was... Maybe like, I think he weighed in within the first 30 minutes. He looked kind of rough up there, if we're being honest, but Steve can crack, man. He had power at 155, but Chase could take a shot, man. He could take a shot. And obviously the longer this fight goes, the more it favors Chase. So, but Chase Hooper, a massive favorite, minus 295, a lot of faith in the dream to get it done against Steve Garcia. Joseph Holmes, Jeon Park on this card. We mentioned Christian Rodriguez, Joshua Williams. I love the Phil Haas, Roman Dolidze fight. Probably should have been on the main card, if we're being honest, but it is what it is. And now we're here to take your questions. If you got questions, you got thoughts about this card, we'll go for as long as the questions are good. How about that? So get them in. Now's the time. Spam away. Forrest Daniels asked if this is an easy fight for Hooper. I wouldn't say it's an easy fight, but it's a favorable matchup. It's one that I think it's his fight to lose. I'll say that.
He can both win and learn from it. This is quality matchmaking. This is good matchmaking. This is why you have guys like Steve Garcia around to give stiff tests to up-and-comers and company and guys that you can tell the company likes, like Chase Hooper. So yeah, I'm with Mike though. I think it's a matchup that Chase Hooper should win. The odds a little too slanted, I would think, but he should win the fight and he'll learn a lot from it.
Forrest asks, Durden is my underdog pick to shine on this card. Who is yours?
Is he the underdog against Moda?
He sure is.
Really?
Wow. Let me pull up the line right now. Carlos Moda, -170. The comeback on Cody Dernan, +145.
That is a lot of respect for a newcomer, eh? I mean, Moda's good. Moda's good. Maybe, again, it's the benefits of being, you know, in the LFA and fighting on Fight Pass is you're not a stranger. I mean, the people who make the odds and the kind of people who tune into like a prelim, the preliminary portion of a card like this, they're probably people who watch, you know, have Fight Pass still, watch LFA, are familiar with Carlos Mota, but I'm still a little surprised. Not like Durden has been like some world beater in the UFC, but I always think that UFC experience like counts for something. He's also coming off a finish. He's coming off a pretty good win himself. So what was the question? Oh, is he the one, the underdog that's going to shine?
No, that was his prediction. Forrest is picking Durden to be his underdog. To shot.
Yeah.
What is yours?
What is yours? It's not a bad pick. I don't know the odds for most of the fights, if I'm being honest. Please tell me Arlovsky's not. Oh.
He's a massive underdog. +205.
What?
That's probably.
There's your answer. I'm seeing +210 on Tapology. Get the hell out of here.
+205.
Get out of here. This man's the heavyweight goat. What are we doing? This man's the greatest to ever do it at heavyweight.
I think he's got a really good chance if he could just knock it crumbled in the first round by a guy who crumbles people in the first round. I think Khalil Roundtree is a pretty live dog at +150.
I see that. Yeah.
I think Roman Dolidze is a live dog at +150. I know Haas is really good.
Trayshawn Gore is actually the underdog?
Yes.
Why did they put this on the main card? I would think they put this as a showcase for Trayshawn, but he's the underdog in this fight. So, I don't know. Maybe the UFC doesn't see it that way.
Maybe they see a finish.
See how it opened. Maybe he'd opened and it moved. Okay, I gotta look this up. I gotta do some research here.
I don't think Trayshawn is the favorite at any point, honestly.
Was this the original matchup too? This wasn't like a
yeah. It was. Josh Fremd's teammate. Just got a win and finished Trayshawn Gore, Cody Brundage. Josh fought Anthony Hernandez on short notice in his UFC debut and performed pretty admirably. I just think Josh has fought for an LFA title, lost to Gregory Rodriguez. There's no shame in that.
No.
I just think I think the betting odds are just banking on Josh to not get knocked out early.
Why is this on the main card?
I don't know. I don't know. But again, but we have to remember this was a card that had some other good fights on it. Like Ilya Topuria versus Edson Barboza was supposed to be on this card. And that would have been a great addition. Yeah, that would have been a definite co-main event. Mark Madsen was supposed to be on this card. There would have been some heat on that bone because Jakar just hates that team. And that would have been a fun one. But of course, Mark Madsen now fighting Grant Dawson next week on that November 5th card. So that's where we're at. I think I threw out some good dog picks for you if we're thinking here. Do we have anything else? Wait a minute. Is Arnold a lose-lose situation if he wins and Alex does go up to 155? No, I don't think so.
I mean, it's definitely not a lose-lose. And again, I think, like we said, Mike, you said that maybe Volkanovski might be done if he beats Makhachev, which is true. But if he loses, He'll probably be ready to get back in there quick, depending on how the fight goes, of course. But I think he'll be ready to get back in there quick. I think he will be looking and will be looking to quickly get back in the win column and defend his title if he can't take Islam's. And if Arnold wins, man, he's right there for a late spring, props big, maybe a big summer matchup in Las Vegas. So this is huge for Arnold. And I think Arnold could afford to win and take like 6 months off and wait for Volkanovski. It would be a gamble. He'd probably want to stay busy and take another fight, but definitely not a lose-lose. A lot to gain here for Arnold Allen, for sure.
I agree. A lot riding on Calvin Kattar. Most people feel like for a while it was like, well, if Kattar loses, he's out of the title picture for a while. He's not out of the title picture. Even despite losing to Max the way he did, despite the loss to Emmett, he's still in the mix here. And that just shows what this division has been like. But if Kattar loses this fight, he's probably not completely out of it because Volk's apparently going to go up to 155. But at the same token, he's got just nothing but murderers waiting for him in the Avloyevs, in the Mitchells, the Taporias, etc. He's probably going to fight one of those guys next if he loses this fight. So I think whoever wins, you get on the mic. You don't have to be a prick about it. You just get on there and you say, hey, Yair doesn't want to fight anybody. Volk's going up to 155. Go, Volk. I'm rooting for you. Represent this division. Josh Emmett, the champion of the world, said we could do an interim title fight. And your name's been mentioned. You want to go. You want to fight for a belt. Me and you, interim title. Insert month, insert card here. Boom. There you go. I think you're a great fighter, Josh. Neither of these guys are trash talkers. Cater's not going to call. He's just going to say, hey, listen, you know, this one's behind me. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Whatever the UFC wants to do, I'm going to do it. Like, that's what he's going to say. Alan, get a little fiery, man. You're going back to London? Boom. If we're going to do Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman, how about a second title fight? Interim title, Arnold Allen in London or the UK challenging for an interim title. Let's do that. Do the thing. Do the thing. Do the thing, Michael Harris.
Michael Harris knows. Just do the thing. And imagine him just leapfrogging right over Yair. You know, Yair just kind of like, I've done enough. I'm biding my time. I've done enough. And just like, oh, no, what the? Oh, just Arnold Allen just passing overhead and taking a title opportunity from me. So that would be harsh. But it might be a little bit of a lesson for El Pantera.
I'll take a few more. I saw a couple.
Did we mention Rodriguez as a squatter, as one of our squatters on the ranking?
He is like a professional squatter.
He is a professional squatter.
Jed and GC calling Means Griffin a pick'em. Who do you got?
I'll lean Griffin. I don't know. This is one of those. I feel like he's. This is a hard. This is. I mean, listen. This maybe the hardest fight to pick on the card, aside from the main event. I don't know. Maybe harder than the main event.
If this is in fact a pick'em, then you got to bet on Tim Means.
You've got it. Yeah, I mean, yes. If you are gonna bet, if you're just like going for bragging rights and who to pick, man, I think Griffin. I think you go with the favorite. I think I'm confident. I think I'm a believer in it. I'm trying to think of the fights he lost. Like, how did he lose his fights? No, I think yeah. I like the line. I'm with the line. It's I don't know. He's almost minus 200. Might be a bit much, but. Yeah, I'm leaning towards Griffin.
We addressed the Cater Allen winner, maybe fighting for an interim title. Yeah. Call for it, baby. Call for it. Call for it. You might get it. Do the thing. Do the damn thing. More excited for Cater Allen or Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva?
Okay? Oh man, it's so hard to say because like Paul Silva could be like the most depressing result of all time if Paul just freaking lays out Anderson Silva. And I don't think anybody wants to see that. As amused as I am by, you know, celebrity crossover, social gloves, boxing, whatever. I don't even know what our title is for this new genre of combat sports that has become. And as fun as it kind of would be to see the Jake Paul, you know, weirdo fight thing train keep rolling, him knocking Anderson Silva, boy, that'd just be beyond the pale, wouldn't it? And it's also distinctly possible. So I love the card, first of all. If we're just talking about the card, I'm actually like super excited about the Paul Silva card. It is just that right mixture of oddities and what the F, you know, WTF. I'm a Dr. Mike fan. Like, I know there's a lot of people who, when they saw Dr. Mike get added to the card, like, who the hell is Dr. Mike? I've watched a few of his videos. I'm a fan. I think it's really cool. He's getting, I think Chris Avila is such a weirdly perfect opponent. The Uriah Hall, Levin Bell fight, not quite as jazzed about, but it's a thing and it's a curiosity. I'd be more than happy if it wasn't happening, but hey, if both guys are getting a bag for it, then more power to them. But yeah, the main event itself, I'll lean towards Paul Silva. I mean, for one thing, it's Anderson Silva. Anytime you watch Anderson Silva fight, that's going to trump almost anything. That factor alone, but there's almost no outcome to Arnold Allen and Calvin Kattar. Besides, you know, someone getting injured early and not even getting a fight. Other than that, I don't really care who wins. There's almost no outcome that would bring me down. Jake Paul flattening Anderson Silva would affect me deeply.
Yeah. You'll see my prediction tomorrow. But I will say my tease for the prediction.
Yes, we have a roundtable coming Saturday morning. Yes. There'll be a roundtable, yes.
My tease is we are going to, at the end, in the long term, we are going to breathe a collective sigh of relief as an MMA community. That's what I'll say. And I'm not giving anything away. I could tell you that right now. Where does Max Holloway fit in this situation? Would the winner of Kattar versus Allen be a good match for him on the way back to the title? So I know Kattar would love that fight. I don't know how much interest everybody else would have in that fight after seeing the first one. Holloway Allen would be interesting, especially if he goes out there and just destroys Calvin Kattar tomorrow. But what do you think? Where does Holloway fit in this equation?
Not to get too onto the next one, but I think we've said multiple times he doesn't. I don't think he does fit in the featherweight title picture anymore. I think we want to see him eschew weight cuts, go up to 155. He would not be a big 155er. I understand featherweight is his ideal weight class, but it's not a fun cut for him to make. He's fought everybody at this point, kind of as part of that discussion of has anyone, you know, stood apart, had broken from the pack. They haven't a lot of because of Max Holloway. Max Holloway has kept the middle of the pack contenders where they belong because they just can't get past him. So it might be better for him, might be better for the UFC if he goes up and we get like that Justin Gaethje fight or do Dustin Poirier again. That'd be like a third fight between them, I think, right? Do it again. I don't care. I want to see it again. Michael Chan, get him in that. Let him start taking out some of those lightweight squatters. All right, they want to squat in those spots. Send Max Holloway after them and see what happens. Hey, maybe they all beat him, but I'll tell you, it's not going to be a fun. It's not going to be a fun five rounds for anybody except for us watching. We're gonna have a great time. So yeah, I don't know if he fits in the featherweight title picture anymore.
Yeah, he just give me fun Max Holloway fights. That's all I care about. I'm sure that's all he cares about at this point. He doesn't need title implications. I don't think Allen would. Maybe I don't know if Allen just goes out there and just whoops on Kattar. Maybe Holloway would be like, you know what? That's a good fight. Why the hell not? We'll do that. I mean, listen, if Charles Oliveira doesn't fight Beneil Dariush, let's do Oliveira Holloway. I'm cool with that. Let them run it back. First fight was kind of weird. Didn't end great. So let's have him do it again. I'd be totally down with that.
Outstanding. I loved it.
Let's see. How many times does Chase Hooper need to win before he gets a ranked opponent? Probably a bunch.
Like six more fights. This guy's a baby, man. This guy's 23 years old. He shouldn't even listen. We were saying before that last fight, Mike, when we were doing our matchmaking, we're like, is it not possible to like put him back in like a developmental type thing where he can still collect, you know, some sort of money from the UFC, but also go back to fighting like a slightly lower level of competition on the regional scene? Like, is that not an option? And we know it isn't. We know the UFC, it's once you kind of get up there, you're in the UFC and you're getting thrown to the wolves. That's just how life works. And then it's either you're with them or you get cut and then you fight your way back. There's the contender series developmental deals, but once you sign a UFC contract, there's no going back. But he looked really great against Felipe Calares but he's so far even just physically from being physically mature enough to really hang, I think, with some of the top guys at 145. He's a good athletic kid, but he's 23. He's not close. He might end up being a lightweight. Like, we don't know. He's tall. He's lanky for now, but that body's going to change a lot. Even in his early 20s, there's still some changing to do and some growing to do. So I'm not concerned at all about where he sits in the rankings. Let him build that fan base. Let him win fights, let him lose fights. He's, again, for me, would be like three or four fights away unless he picks up some really like random win over a veteran opponent.
Yeah, we'll do this one because I keep getting called out by this dude. Why push Dariush to the side for Volk when you were banging the drum for him leading up to 280?
Does this even need to be answered?
I mean, are you kidding me?
Time, this person knows time like is linear, right? Like there's things happen and then something else happens. And then we can go ahead.
Because the whole, if you watch the UFC 280 post-fight show, and we brought it up here, there's an important lesson that we all need to learn. It's do the thing. Do the thing. Because what Dariush did after he beat Mateusz Gamrot was not do the thing. He didn't do the thing. He said, you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to beg for fights. I'll fight 10 more guys. Why would you say that? Not a good thing. And then the new champion and one of the biggest stars in the history of the sport calls out the number one fighter in the world. They bring him into the cage for a face-off, and everybody's talking about this fight. Listen, I want Dariush to fight for the title someday. I'm the one that wanted Juju. The big talking point heading into that fight was like, I just want to know if the MMA gods just truly dislike Beneil Dariush because he's just been getting bad hand after bad hand after bad hand. Now, I'm not telling Beneil Dariush to go out there and drop a Nate Diaz promo on Islam Makhachev. You could do it very respectfully. Hey, listen, Islam, so much respect for you. Habib, so much respect for you. Habib, you're a man of your word. I respect all of that about you. But Islam, you mentioned my name. You said that if I won in one of your interviews that you would give me a title shot. Habib's a man of his word. Are you a man of yours? I believe you are. I'll see you in the octagon. If he just did that, he'd be more in the mix, but he didn't do that. He said, I'll fight 10 more guys. You got to be better. You don't have to call out everybody, but you know what? The UFC and everybody else did it for him. We just have to accept the fact that Volkanovski's getting this fight. That's it. Like, he's getting the fight. They're going to do this. Everything is trending in this direction. They're going to make this fight. We just have to get on board at this point. Dariush should absolutely be the backup. Like, I know there's talk, like, people want to see Oliveira fight in Brazil, and that'd be cool. And we could do this fight in Brazil, and I'd watch the crap out of it. But at the same token, if you're Dariush, you need to be on that card with those guys and be the backup. Because typically, when you're the backup fighter, you get a title shot next. So focus on that. Be the backup on that card. Maybe you fight Oliveira. Maybe you fight somebody else. But you just make sure you're in Perth. You make sure you are there. You make weight like a professional, which I know you will. And then if you end up fighting, you got to win. And then you're good. You'll get your title shot. But he's just not going to get it right now. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. He lost the chance. Volk got it. Makhachev wants the Volk fight. Habib wants the Volk fight. The UFC is going to build the crap out of this. And by the time the ranking cycle rolls around a month before that fight happens, no matter what happens at UFC 281, Makhachev's going to get bumped to number two, even if Adesanya beats Pereira. And they're going to build this fight as not just for the lightweight title, but the battle for the number one fighter in the world. That's what they're going to do. That's just what's going to happen.
Omar followed up by saying, is there no other path if one is incapable of doing that thing? There is.
Yeah, I mean, you win 10 more fights.
Yeah, no.
If you don't do the thing, you fight 10 more times.
There is that. But also, you just need some luck sometimes, too. That's a problem. You need some luck. And if you're not lucky, you have to make your own luck. And that's kind of what we're saying about Dariush. He's like, absolutely. Winning 7, 8, 9 fights, that should have been enough. But then, like, there's fights that fell through. There's for him. And it's just, he had bad luck. It sucked.
He had bad luck. He had Islam.
And these things just fall through for him. And you have to make your own luck. And that's what a lot of people do is they make their own luck, right? So it is very unfortunate. He has done more than enough to earn a title shot. I don't think anyone can dispute that. But now that this shiny gem is in front of Volkanovski and Islam and the UFC, how can they say no if it's possible to put it together, right? If all the parties involved want to do it. And here's the thing. I sincerely believe both fights can happen. Like, I want to see this matchup, and I want to see Dariush gets a title shot. But if there was a universe where only one of them could happen, I need to see Islam versus Volkanovski. I think it's an amazing fight. And I think most people would agree if they had to choose between the two, if for some reason, you know, we could only pick one, they're going to go Islam Volkanovski. And that's, you know, that's the UFC's thinking. That's probably what a lot of fans are thinking. So
listen, here's
the thing. It's not a fair game.
I make this comparison a lot. We talk about it on to the next one, usually with listener picks, but here's how I'll compare this. Volkanovski is the popular male or female in high school that you want to be with. Like, it's a dream. Like, you're like, oh, one day I would just love to have the guts to ask him or her out. And you go up and you get the date and you're like, wow, this is cool. You're with the popular girl. This is awesome. But you know, you're not going to marry her. Volkanovski's the popular male or female in your high school. You're going to get experience. You get the big thing out of the way. And then Beneil Dariush is the fight you marry. That's the one you have to wait for. You wait for, and then when it comes, it's magical. And when that fight happens, it's going to be great. It's just not going to happen right now. Maybe it'll happen end of 2023. Imagine if it happens in like what a holiday gift that would be for us. Like, if it happened at the end of 2023, then I'm good. You don't have to buy me anything. That fight by itself with merit and style will be great, but it's Mr. Right. It's just not Mr. Right now. I'm sorry.
It's not next.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's not next.
I feel for Dariush, and he knows it too, and he's taking it like a champion. So that's it. All right, I think we're done. But listen, I love all these questions. A lot of them don't have anything to do with this card, and I totally get it. I absolutely understand it. But don't worry. Tomorrow, we're going to have plenty of time to answer your questions. Two different occasions. We're going to have two people's pre-fight shows tomorrow.
Yes.
Get excited. Jed Meshew will join me tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern, right here on this channel. We'll do the People's Pre-Fight Show for UFC Vegas 63. We'll hang out, get ready for the first punches to be thrown. Then we'll probably, before we even do a post-fight show, we're going to do a Anderson Silva versus Jake Paul People's Pre-Fight Show. 30 minutes. We'll hang out there. I think it might be me, Jed. Maybe we'll get one of the boys who are in Glendale right now. And then we'll have a post-fight show. AK and I will be back on Sunday for On to the Next One. It's going to be a busy day. We got Bellator. We got the UFC. We got Paul Silva. We have Lomachenko. We got Katie Taylor. Boxing galore. This is going to be it's combat sports dream tomorrow. The hangover of UFC 280 is real, but it is what it is. We're on the road to UFC 281, back to MSG, coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow. So a lot to get excited about. But for AK, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility. Eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.